This is our second lecture about Parshas Tetzaveh with the Chassidus of Shem Shmuel, and our shiur is dedicated to the memory of Rachel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi Aleiha Shalom. You know, this week's Parsha deals with the big day kahuna, with the clothing that the Kohanim wear in the Mishkan and the Tabernacle and the Beis HaMikdash, the Temple in Yerushalayim. And there were two sets of big day kuna, of clothing. One set is called big day lavan, the white clothing, which is worn by every Kohen, every priest. And the second set is called big day Kohen Gadol, it's big day zov, it's golden clothing, there's gold in the clothing, and that's worn by the Kohen Gadol, by the high priest, who wears really both sets. He wears the regular white set of an average Kohen, a Kohen Hedyot, and he also wears, in addition to that regular white set of four clothings, he wears another set on top of it, another four, the big days of the gold clothing, so for a total of eight begadim. We want to discuss today the Hasidic approach to the meaning of these eight begadim, these eight sets of clothing, the two sets, the four white clothing and the four gold clothing. Now the Torah says, Ve'ela begodim ashayasu, choshen ve'efod u'me'il, uchsones tashbeitz mitznefes ve'avneit, ve'osu bigdei kodesh la'aron achicha, levonov l'chan oli. The Torah lists the different types of clothing that the Kohanim, the four clothings of the regular Kohen and the extra four of the Kohen Gadol, the Big Day Lavan and the Big Day Zov, the Torah lists them. The four types of clothing which is worn by the Kohen Hedyot, by the regular Kohen, is first of all Michnasayim, pants, a kasones, a shirt, an avnet, a belt for his shirt and pants, and mitznefes, a mikbat, a turban for his head. So he has the turban, the shirt, the pants, and the belt. It's a very simple set of four white clothings. Four begadim, big day lavan. The Kohen Gadol, he has the big day zav on top of the regular four, and the big day zav are more complicated and complex types of clothing. He wears a tzitz, a gold plate on his forehead with strings to put over his head, a me'il, a long coat type beged, an ephod, an apron, and the choshen, a breastplate, which has 12 precious stones. Now, in the Gemara Zvachim, the Gemara explains a very interesting point, and that is that these two sets of four pieces of clothing, the Big Day Lavan, the white set, and the Big Day Zov, the gold set, function as machaprim. They create atonement for the Jewish people for various sins. Now, of course, the Kohanim, the priests, and the Beis HaMikdash are primarily serving God and creating atonement for the various sins of the Jewish people. And not just through the various sacrifices and korbanos, but also by the very act of wearing these begadim, these pieces of clothing, they create an atonement for the various failings of the Jewish people. And the Gemara goes through eight different averos, different sins that the Jewish people might have done, and for which each of these eight pieces of clothing, Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zov, atone for. And the Gemara explains in Zvachim Daf Peches Amud Beis as follows: Kesones al shvichas damim. The shirt, the white shirt, atones for the crime of murder, because there's a reference in the Chumash that when the brothers of Yosef sold him, in effect, and were planning his murder, they took his kesones, his shirt, and they dipped it in blood. So this means that somehow that white shirt tainted with the red blood is this is the connection. Michnasayim al gilu arayos. The pants are for the sin of promiscuity, the failings in the area of sex. Mitznefes al gase haruach. The turban which is worn by the Kohanim atones for the sin of egoism and self-centeredness. The avnet, the belt, alhir alev, for the bad thoughts of the heart. The belt is high up, the Gemara says. It's worn just below the chest, right around the heart area, and it's here to atone for the evil thoughts of the lev, of the heart. These are the four white clothings. Then the Gemara turns its attention to the gold, the big days of, and it says that the four gold pieces of clothing, which the Kohen Gadol adds to his set of white, are as follows. They atone as follows. Choshen al adinim. The breastplate, which has the precious stones, each of which is engraved with the letters of each tribe of Israel, atones for crimes done in the courts, in justice. Miscarriages of justice are atoned for by the breastplate. Ephod, the apron, alavod zara, that atones for idolatry. Me'il alashon hara, the cloak which he wears is for evil talk, and it sits the breast, the plate of gold which he wears on his forehead, al azus panim. This atones for having azus panim, is translated by the Jewish word chutzpah, which is now also an English word. Brazenness, audacity, but in a bad sense. So these are the various sins which the four gold clothings atone for. Now, Shem Shmuel wants us to get an insight into some kind of a systematic idea of what these various sins are and the connection to the clothing. And he quotes, first of all, a Zohar. The Zohar, of course, as we know, is the source of the Kabbalah, of mystical teachings of the Torah. And in the Zohar, it says as follows, Abba bigdei lavan heim neged abba osios havaya. Va'abba bigdei zohov neged abba osios adnus. We know that Hashem Yisbarach, the Almighty, has two main names. One name is called the Shem Havaya, loosely translated, the name of His being. And it's spelled with the four special letters, Yud, followed by the He, and then the Vav, and then the final K. This is the Shem Havaya, these four letters of God's name. This is one of His main names. In fact, we don't know ourselves exactly how to pronounce that name, because it is such an exalted name that it's only pronounced in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Temple in Yerushalayim, or the Mishkan, and it's been thousands of years since we've had a Beis HaMikdash, so we simply don't know how that name is pronounced. We know the letters, but we don't know the exact pronunciation. The other main name of Hashem, of God Almighty, in Hebrew, is the name Adnus, Aleph Dalid, and then followed with the Nun Yud. And that name we do pronounce all the time. We make a blessing. We say, Baruch Ata Ado. I don't say the name completely because I'm not using it in a blessing at this point, but I imagine that almost all of you do know how to pronounce that name, the Aleph Dalet name, which loosely translated means the my Lord. So, Hashem has two main names. Each of these names have four letters, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then the Aleph Dalet with the Nun Yud is four letters. Four letters, two names, four pieces of clothing, white and gold, two sets of clothing, white and gold. So the Zohar sees here a parallel. The four white clothing, the Zohar says, the four pieces of Big Day Lavan, are neged the four letters of Havaya, the four letters of the Shem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The four letters of the other name of Hashem, the Aleph Dalet Nun, the Adonus name, as represented by the four golden pieces of clothing, the four Big Day Zav. So the Big Day Lavan, the white clothing, is for the Shem Havaya, and the Big Day Zav is for the Shem Adonus. My friends, we go a little deeper here into Hasidus and Kabbalah, in that these two names of Hashem represent Chesed and Din. We spoke already many times about the two pillars of God's creation and how God deals with the world and of different things in the Torah, different concepts, the concept of chesed and the concept of din. And I refer you to some of our early shum. I recall, if I don't remember everything we said, but I do remember that the first shir in Chasidus, we spoke about creation, did talk about chesed and din. Chesed literally means charity, kindness, goodness, and din literally means justice. But in Chasidus and Kabbalah, Chesed and Din represents expansion, Chesed, because charity and goodness, kindness is a concept, an expression of expansiveness and of reaching out and of giving. So it's a type of expansion, and Din, which is, in Chassidus and Kabbalah, represents the concept of contraction, of control, of limits, of definitions, and justice, of course, rules of law are very well defined. God Almighty has two names, two main names, Havaya and Adnus. Havaya, which is the name of Chesed, the name of expansion, represents, at least for us in our conceptions of the Almighty, the limitless nature of His being, and the goodness and giving of His being, that He is Kulo Tov. God Almighty is all goodness, and He gives of Him of this goodness all the time. Of course, we human beings we benefit as well as every other creature and everything in this world. Fundamentally, in our existence, that God gave us this gift of being. And He, not just that we are, but He supports us and sustains us in the myriads and untold numbers of ways which we need in order to exist, whether it's everything from air to food and the way our bodies function, etc., etc. It's limitless. So this is the concept of the Shem Havaya. And this is a fundamental feature of this world. the expansion, the giving of Hashem for the, in this world and beyond this world. And then the other name of Hashem is Adnus, which means contraction, law, limits. In order for this world to function properly, God made rules, whether it's rules of nature, gravity, electricity, DNA, etc., etc. Also, an infinite number. But every one of these particular laws of nature, we call them, are constrictions which Hashem made in order for the world to properly exist. And then, of course, there's the moral law, the law of the Torah, which Hashem has promulgated for humanity. So any law, whether it's a law of nature, a morality law, any limitation which God puts in the world, and sometimes God even constricts himself. He limits himself that he has to function, for example, according to the rules of the Torah. When we do mitzvos, he will give us some kind of a reward. If we do sins, God forbid, he will give us some kind of a punishment. He constricts himself. And according to Hasidus, and I think I've discussed this at the very first shiur, God had to restrain himself and restrict himself, so to speak, in order for the world to come into existence. There should be, so to speak, a space for something else, so to speak, to exist besides him. So, Hashem also functions, as far as we know, our perception, under the rubric, under the name of Adnus, of control, of restriction. So there are two names. The name of Havaya, goodness, giving, expansion. And the name of Adnus, law, restriction. Sometimes, God forbid, punishments. Rules and regulations. These are the two names of Hashem. And we people are supposed to identify with these two names. We are supposed to copy him. We're supposed to use him as our model. Because he has given us the Tzelem Elokim. He has given us some kind of image of him. And we are the clay which can model itself after what he shows us about himself. And the more we become like him, the more we fulfill the purpose of creation, which is for us to become more and more godlike in a human way, within the human society, but to be godlike type people. Now, we too, therefore, have a chesed side, and we also have a din side. There's part of us which is giving, expansion, reaching out, thinking of the universe, of infinity, grand plans and ideas and dreams. This is chesed within the human context. And then, on the other side, there is the din. There's the constricted regulatory regulations and laws which characterize human society. All of humanity is organized through laws, regulations, expectations. People have to function within a certain system. So we are creatures of din. And in Hasidus and Kabbalah, this is also represented by the right and the left. The right, Yemin Hashem Osa Chesed. We represent God's right, our right, as expansion, as giving, as chesed. And we represent the other side, the din, the restriction, the regulation, the laws, by the yad shmal, by the left side, the left hand. And also, in Kabbalah and Hasidus, Chesed and Din are represented also by different colors. The color white represents Chesed, expansion, because white is an open color. White has no special agenda. On a white background, you can make any other color, and that color will maintain its integrity. White supports everything. So therefore, white is Chesed. If Chesed is openness, giving, expansion, opportunity, so this is the color white. Zohav, gold, the yellows and the reds represent Din. Of course, in the worst sense, blood, taking of blood is a sort of very, very strong din, very strong judgment and justice. And yellow and red are the colors of din, of constriction. So the two sets of clothing, the Zohar says, the big day lavan, the white clothing of the regular Kohen represents Shem Havayah or Chesed. And the big day Zohav, the gold clothing worn by the Kohen Gadol, this represents Din. This represents constriction and law. Now, just as in the good part of the world, we have this duality of Chesed and Din, expansion and constriction, goodness and law, charity and law. We also have, unfortunately, in the mirror side of the world, and the back side of the world, in the evil side of the world, also Chesed and Din. Because as the Zohar and Chassidus and Kabbalah explain, in order for man to have choice, in order for man to have free choice, he has to be tempted. He has to have an equal measure of power pulling him to the good and an equal power of measure, unfortunately, pulling him or her to the bad. Zelu umazeh oselokim. God made good and bad to face one another. God says to Israel, I give you life and death, good and evil, make the choice. So there is, on the dark side, the evil side, which is part of this world, unfortunately, which God made, Chesed and Din. There's some kind of evil expansion force, and there's an evil constriction force. Now, for example, lust. A lust, an urge of lust, let's say in the sexual arena, is the chesed of Ra. It's a drive to go out, to reach out, but it's an evil. It's a bad drive to reach out. Sometimes there's a lust for power, to build empires. It's an expansive force, but it takes the form of colonialism and oppression. So it's the chesed of the Sitra Achra. It's the chesed of the Satan, of the evil forces in the world. It's a power to dominate, to control and build, and to conquer, to expand, but in an evil way. And this we find, essentially, as Shem Mishmul explained many times, and I think we've done this perhaps previously, in the three cardinal sins. Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. The three main sins which the Torah focuses on, and which Torah law, halacha, Torah Shabbat Peh focuses on, are the sins of idolatry, avodah zarah, gilu arayis, illicit sex, and shvichas damim, murder. Avodah zarah, gilu arayis, shvichas damim. These are sins which can come from evil chesed. Idolatry could be because someone is expanding and looking for some system which gives the freedom to do what they want, so they create an idolatrous freedom. There can be, of course, the lust urge, which we discussed, gilu arayos, from the evil chesed, and there can be, of course, shvichas damim, from the evil chesed. The people want to expand and dominate and kill others, unfortunately. And then, of course, there's din. Din is when there's a very harsh cruelty. Din, law, but law pushed to the evil side. Evil laws, evil restrictions, wicked ordinances can lead to idolatry and terrible sexual perversions, as well as, of course, unfortunately, murder. This can come from cruelty, restriction, the desire and the will to dominate, to conquer, to control. This is din, control, but in an evil sense. So, the cardinal sins, avodah zarah, gilu arayis, and shvichas damim, can come from an excess of expansion, from the chesed. It could come also from an excess of din, an excess of cruelty, of law, perverted law, cruel law, and oppression. Now, Shemesh Shmuel explains, based, of course, on the Zohar many times, that the three cardinal sins, avodah zarah, gilu arayis, and shvichas damim, also have a fourth sin, which includes all three. In other words, there are three basic sins, avodah zarah, gilu arayis, and shvichas damim, idolatry, promiscuity, and murder. And these three sins many times come separately, as separate crimes. The crime of idolatry, there's a separate crime of promiscuity, a separate crime of murder. But sometimes they get rolled into one. Sometimes you have, let's say, a kingdom. And within this kingdom, all three of these crimes are at play. The avodah zarah, and the gilu arayis, and the shvichas damim. And in fact, there's sometimes a certain crime, a certain criminal attitude, a criminal personality, which people can have, which then makes them susceptible to all of the fundamental crimes. Avodah zarah, gilu arayis, and shvichas damim. Because their very personality is criminal. And what's very interesting is that Shemesh Shmuel, and I imagine the Zohar, from which he usually takes his concepts, says that a criminal personality, which is the fundamental, or what he calls the Chet HaKolel, the universal criminal or crime, to have that kind of a criminal personality which can do anything, evil. He could do avodah zarah, he could do gilu arayis, he can do shvichas damim, is represented by the sin of lashon hara. When a person is so involved in destroying other people's personality, other people standing in the community, he's into character assassination. He talks evil of people, he or she, talk evil of others. That is the root expression of a criminal personality. That means that this person, who is, let us call, committed, dedicated to the assassination sociologically of other people through Lashon Hara, through evil talk, this person can murder a little bit down the road. He could do illicit sex down the road, because for him a woman is nothing but an object for his own pleasures. And he can do idolatry, because he's basically, I have an idolatrous personality, because he serves himself. In other words, the egoistic, braggart, selfish, self-centered person is a criminal at his root. He has a criminal personality, because he doesn't recognize that he is a creature of the Almighty God. And as a creature, he must be humble and full of humility. But rather, no, he has no place for God in his mind. He's thinking only of himself. And anybody who stands in his way, he must destroy. And even though it seems that at this point, it's relatively harmless destruction. He's not taking a gun to kill somebody. He's not raping the Nebuchadnezzar woman. He's not bowing down to idols in the street. But he's involved in character assassination of other people. Lashon Hara. He sows and foments strife, civil strife, arguments, hatred between people. He has a hateful personality. He has a criminal personality at his root, because he's full of hate. He hates everybody. Why? Because he worships himself. He's an egoist, selfish, let me call him a brat. He one day will do real idolatry, will do real rape, will do real murder, because his personality is criminal. So this sin of Lashon Hara, of the evil talk, is a kolel. It's a universal, it contains within it the seeds of the worst of all crimes, the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Reis, and Shvichus Damim. Now, as we saw, the crimes that unfortunately we do, which fall into the three categories, and of course the fourth includes all three, come from a perversion, a distortion, a breakdown in chesed, in expansion, or a breakdown, distortion of din, of contraction. Too much expansion can cause sins. Evil contraction can cause sins. They are sins of the white and of the red, and of the gold. The Lavan and the Zav. Now the Kohen's function in the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash is to atone for these sins. He is to do certain acts to atone. But even more than that, he's supposed to be a teacher and a model for the rest of the Jewish people not to fall into the trap of these different flaws and failings. And therefore he wears the white and the gold. The white, the chesed, the good expression of chesed, the good side of expansion, of goodness and giving, and flowing with goodness and holiness. This is the Kohen who wears the Big Day Lavan. And the Kohen Gadol, on top of the Big Day Lavan, on top of the white clothing, adds the four garments of Zav, the four garments of the gold, to be mechaper, to atone for the sins of din, for the crimes of cruelty, of domination, of wickedness, which come from a perversion of din. And that's why he wears the zav. And my dear friends, as we go through these eight clothing, we see that in the Gemara Zvachim this is exactly the system. It says in the Gemara Zvachim, the ksones, the shirt, atones for shvichas damim. So that's the crime of murder. The michnasayim, the white pants, atone for the sin of gilurayas, of illicit sex. The mitznefes, the head, turban, atones for gas ruach, for the egoistic thinking, which is basically the yesod, the foundation of Avodah Zarah, of being an idol worshipper, worshipping oneself and not being humble in front of God. And the avnei, the white belt, atones for hiru halev, for the thoughts of the heart, which is a concept of kolel, because any sin comes from thoughts of the heart, and one has to have a good thought and a good heart. And Shem Yishmul says that actually it's not an accident that we talk about in the white clothing about the lave, about the heart, the center of the human emotion. Because chesed, expansion, is more of an emotional concept than it is of an intellectual concept. The emotions move, the emotions expand, the emotions flow out. And therefore, since white represents chesed, expansion, so therefore the white has within it, of course, a focus on the lave. One has to have a lave tov, a good heart, a heart which is a giving heart, an overflowing heart, to reach others and to give others goodness. This is the foundation of the white clothing of the Kohen. And then the Kohen Gadol adds to this the gold clothing. And the gold clothing, the Zohar says, is for din. It's mechaper on din. And again, in the gold clothing we see that the choshen, the breast, is for dinim. Is for miscarriages of justice. And dinim, in the worst case, can be a murder. The courts are killing innocent people and putting innocent people into prison, and they die in prison. So within miscarriages of justice is sins, the crimes of murder. The ephod, the apron, is for Avodah Zarah, is for idolatry. Because throughout Tanakh, the priests of idols had certain kinds of clothing called the ephod, they wear some kind of a robe, an outer robe, some kind of an apron for idolatry. The tzitz, the breastplate, the gold plate on his forehead, is for azus ponim, is for chutzpah. And chutzpah and brazenness, of course, is very much related to crimes of sex, which involve a lot of brazenness. And the male, the cloak which he wears, is for lashon hara, is for evil talk. This is the sin which is kolel, everything else, which includes everything else. So as we explained before, crimes of Avodah Zarah, gilurayas, shvichas damim, can come also from the side of din, of excessive din, perverted justice, perverted law, perverted constriction, cruelty, dominance, imperialism and colonialism. All of this can produce Avodah Zarah, gilurayas, and shvichas damim. And the Kohen Gadol, the gold clothing, is trying to emphasize and trying to model for us good din, good laws, good restrictions, good behavior, which is controlled and balanced and focused on what's good and stays away from what's bad. Din is good. Din is good. It's good to have laws and regulations. We don't want people driving cars 80 miles an hour in the middle of a city without and going through red lights. We want din, but the regulations have to be fair and honest and applied equally. To be have a just society. There is a good din. There's a good restriction, a good constriction. This is our responsibility. This is the Kohen Gadol wears in gold. Gold, of course, is very precious, the most precious of all metals. If the dinim are good, if the laws and regulations and morality of society are good, it's precious like gold. It's more difficult than the chesed, than the expansion. And Shem Shmuel explains that really the dinim, the regulations and rules and constrictions relate more to the moach. Relate more to the thinking and intellectual way of the mind rather than to the heart. The heart is open in its goodness. It gives out without limit its chesed. It's flowing, flowing, and flowing. But the mind is constricting. The mind is balanced. The mind is the logic of goodness of din. The mind is deciding what should the speed limit be in the city. 30, 40, how many red lights should we have, and when, and how, and how do we balance the pedestrians versus the traffic? Dinim, good laws, good regulations, products of the intellectual side of the human being. So therefore, the gold clothing, which emphasizes dinim, is more for the seichel, more for the mind. And the white clothing, which emphasizes chesed, is more for the lave, more for the heart. And my dear friends, in various other shiurim we've explained, Shem Shmuel makes a short reference here, and we're not going to go into it, that these four levels of sin and the four atonements for those sins, sometimes we refer them to the four evil kingdoms, Bavel, Paras, Yavon, and Edom, which have tried successfully, but then, thank God, unsuccessfully to dominate, and God forbid, sometimes even tried to eliminate the Jewish people. The Babylonians, the sin of idolatry. And the Persians, the sin of licentiousness and promiscuity. And Yavon, the Greek Syrians, which we celebrate our salvation from them on Hanukkah. The sin of murder, and finally Edom, the Roman Empire, which included all the sins, idolatry and licentiousness and murder and evil talk. Everything was in Rome. And this also, thank God, we have been able to survive until today. And this is the merit of four great Jews, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu. Avraham, the first Jew, stood against idolatry. He stood against Avodah Zarah. Yitzchak Avinu, the second great Jew, he stood against Gilu Arayos, against promiscuity and licentiousness. And Yaakov Avinu, the third great Jew, stood against Shvichas Damim, stood against the sin of murder, which was the hallmark of his brother Esav. And finally, Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Jew Moshe, who included with him in everything the goodness of belief in God, the chesed and the din of Emunah Bashem against the Avodah Zarah, against the idolaters of the world. And Moshe Rabbeinu in his Torah teachings taught us proper sexual conduct between man and woman and the holiness of marriage and the idea of Jewish family and raising good children and modesty and tzniut, in dress and in speech, holiness between the sexes, that the sexes are a seat for God's holiness rather than an unleashing of passion and of cruelty. The chesed of Moshe Rabbeinu in the area of ish v'isha, man and woman. And finally, the chesed and din of Moshe, the generosity and law of Moshe, in Shvichas Damim, so many laws in the Torah against murder, against domination, against embarrassing people, which is a form of social murder. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his koach, in his power of Torah, the gift of Torah which he brought to us, was kolel. He included within it everything. Chesed, and din, and every good thing, seichel and lev, the mind and the heart, and every level of our existence, the biological, the emotional, the intellectual, all of this should be turned and used for the goodness of the chesed and of the din, to expand and constrict in a good, proper way, in a balanced way, which is the way of the Torah. So my friends, as we learned this week about the clothing of the Kohen, the white and the gold, we think very strongly how important it is for us to be committed to Torah study, to learn the right balance, to learn the right expression of our sides, which are expansive, which want to give out and grow and limitless, in some kind of limitless way. And also the din, to have the right rules and regulations and the right behavior patterns. All of this from Torah. All of this in the model of the Kohen. The Kohen who wears the white clothing, the regular Kohen. The model of Chesed. And the Kohen Gadol who wears the white and the gold. The model of Chesed and Din. The model of the combination of Chesed and Din. And we hope and pray to Hashem that this model and this lesson will become a reality for me and for you and for every Jew and indeed for every human being in the world. Thank you very much.